Accession number 24198, Rule 13.
This is the seventh reel of a taped interview with Jim Boyd in his home in Perth, Western Australia, on the 22nd of the 10th, 2002, for the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Jim, I wanted to speak to you in relation to your homeward trip. You're back on board a ship, but now you're coming back from war as opposed to going to war. Can you describe what it was like to be on board ship homeward bound?
Yeah, we came home on the Mauritania. From Southampton. A very good feeling to be on board, knowing that we were free, and looking forward to arriving back in Australia. But we did go to, from England to Pearl Harbor. We saw the damage done in Pearl Harbor. And when we left there, the first time we had a submarine scare, and the boat turned around and we went back to Pearl Harbor again. So then the word was given that things were clear, so away we went again.
So there was still concern about submarines even after the
war. Oh yes, they were still up around Pearl Harbor, Atlantic, and
these were Japanese submarines, presumably they hadn't heard of the surrender, possibly.
Well, they could have been German or anything. I suppose it'd be even German submarine commanders would most likely think, well, wasted so many years of my life and I'll continue the war on my bloody own. You never know how they think. All we knew, it was the submarine scare.
So on board the ship, the general feeling of being, as you mentioned, free, knowing that you're on your way home as free men, and you've made it through the war.
Oh yes, it was a good feeling. We had a lot of Kiwis on board, and we went direct from Southampton to Pearl Harbor, from Pearl Harbor to New Zealand. Flat out more or less, I suppose, as far as speed went. And enjoyable trip.
As young free men, what were you talking amongst yourselves in relation to what you were going to do when you got home?
Well, hard to say, I suppose. All depends who you got with. If you got with a married man, I suppose he'd talk about meeting his wife. I wasn't married, and I didn't know whether my girlfriend was still available. Or luckily she was. And 45 years of married life after we got married.
In relation to coming back to Australia, what was the one thing that you missed the most, do you think? other than friends and loved ones?
After we came back to Australia.
Something that you were looking forward to, possibly.
Oh.
Other than seeing friends and loved ones.
No, I think that's all we were concentrating on was arriving in Australia, our own country, and glad to be back.
What was it like then to see your home country appearing on the horizon after all the time that you've been away?
Well, actually, it was pretty darkish when we arrived. We went straight into Sydney Harbour. Not Sydney Harbour, Wellington in New Zealand, and we were allowed to go ashore straight away, more or less. But,
what was that like, going ashore in Wellington?
Well, I think most of them were looking for a few beers to start with, and anything that might have cropped up. Yes, the people were very good to us in Wellington.
In relation to the situation, young soldiers now free in Wellington, for instance, was it ever a case of people losing their control? The world's my oyster, I can do what I like?
No. Well, I think if that had anyone had a, what I'd call run amok like that, they'd be quickly stopped.
Over exuberance, maybe, was it experiencing?
Yeah, there were plenty of military police still around, but the blokes themselves that you knocked around with would always see that the crowd they were with weren't hostile to anyone or anything like that. Kept our heads as much as we could. I suppose there were some good drinkers amongst us that we didn't bother to lose our heads.
How long were you in Wellington for, roughly?
Oh, I'd say about a day and a night,
so
approximately.
You are now on your way back to Australia, the home, the old home country.
Yeah. Looking forward to that part of the trip. And
it wasn't like you were coming back from a holiday or anything, was it? It was.
No, but we were more jovial feeling, I suppose you'd call it, that bucked us up, made us feel a lot better. We went straight to Sydney from Wellington in New Zealand, camped on the Sydney showgrounds.
Can you describe to us what it was like coming back into Sydney? Were you welcomed?
Yes, there was a fair crowd down at the boat to see it in. Of course, there were a lot of New South Wales blokes on board. But, people never stopped you in the street and spoke to you or anything like that. We didn't expect anyone to make a fuss of us. West Australians were more or less just waiting to get home to Western Australia. Queenslanders, vice versa.
So how was it like then for you to be back in Australia? Was it a strange feeling after all that you'd experienced?
It was a strange feeling. It looked as though, it felt as though you had, you might as well say, over 4 years of your life was had been altered, somehow wasted. I often think of it now that I often say it to different blokes that they all say, oh, that was life. But when you come to think of it, you think about a war and you're in it for, might as well say, over 4 years. But in that 4 years, we've done more bloody work for the enemy than what we did fighting him. But that's the uselessness, I suppose, of becoming a prisoner of war. The work and everything we've done was more beneficial to us, to him, I suppose, and what it should have been.
Did that make you feel, how did that make you feel on your return to Australia in relation to other chaps who may have been fighting the whole time?
Yes, well, they never threw it at us or anything like that. We did honestly expect that a lot of people might have thought, oh, well, the 8th and 9th divisions went to the Middle East. None of them done any good. Most of them became prisoners of war. And it was just one of those things. The way things turned out, we couldn't do anything about it.
Tell us then what it was like to finally get home and meet your own people again.
My homecoming was not the best in a way. I had a stepmother. A sister, and my father had died while the war was on. I never knew that until I read in the letter. But the whole family that was back in Australia were at loggerheads with one another.
What was it like to come back and at least meet your girlfriend?
Well, that part was all right.
Was it a situation where you could sort of really open up to your girlfriend in this particular instance, but to other relatives in relation to your experience, do you think?
No, I never told my stepmother much about the war, and I never told my sister anything about the war.
Did they seem interested to know?
I don't think so. I gave them all a dressing down, and I think it carried on from there. They thought, oh, well, we've done the wrong thing, I suppose, he'll get over it. But I just didn't get over it.
How was it then in relation to, you're back in the real world, but the real world hadn't been your experience for the last 4 years. What difficulties did you have to experience coming back to civilization, do you think? People talk of people not understanding them.
Yes, people I knew, most of the people I knew that I met up with as time went on, they just seemed to be interested in what I'd done and anything.
People talk also of this almost, a sense of almost a letdown, sort of coming back to.
Yes, I suppose it takes you a fair while to get back into your old rhythm.
How long would you say it took you to get back into the idea of being in civilian life after the war?
Oh, I suppose. I suppose we got married in the first 12 months that I was back, but my girlfriend made it easy for me. I think she understood.
People talk of coming home to loved ones and others not having that luxury in many respects.
Oh, yeah.
How was that different for those chaps who didn't have a girlfriend to come home to, or didn't have a wife to come back to, do you think?
Well, I don't know how they would have got on, some of them. I didn't run into a lot of them, but I suppose without my girlfriend, I would have been in the same boat. But as I say, she was the one that kept me on the straight and narrow, and I thought I was lucky to have known her in the first part.
The very feeling of coming back to Australia, a place that had been untouched by war, having seen all of those scenes that you'd come across, having been in North Africa, and then being taken prisoner, having seen war-torn Europe, how was that a strange sort of scenario to experience?
Well, I think we didn't let it worry us in a way, and the ordinary public, with the war that was still going on up in the islands with the Japs, I think they more or less concentrated on that and didn't worry so much about us walking around in khaki uniforms and much as though, well, what are they, soldiers on leave from the islands or something? We never used to. Our colour patch got well known after a while. People woke up, I suppose, that we were rats of Tobruk, and I think altered their views a bit.
So, what was the reputation then of the rats of Tobruk back home, do you think?
Oh, they were pretty good. seemed to be that the new uniforms and things, there's a lot of people went into hospitals and things like that. The medical profession put them in there. My nerves were in the best of condition, but I got over that pretty quickly.
Did you stay in the army long after returning home?
No, I suppose I would be in uniform for about 5 or 6 weeks only from the time I arrived home. That was mostly because I was under medical supervision for a lot of the different things. But I still have to stay in uniform. I was classed as still being in the army, but I knew that there was no chance of us having to go up the islands or anything like that.
You mentioned that, the islands were still going, so that you'd come home before VP or VJ Day. I assume you were back after VE Day, am I right? Or where were you when VE Day was?
Oh, actually, I forget.
Where were you? Do you remember when VJ Day, VP Day, occurred?
No, I wouldn't have a clue of what I was thinking around that time, where I was.
15th of August, 1945. Do you remember any celebrations at all?
No. No.
What was the situation when you knew that the Japanese had been defeated as well?
Well, I don't know. We didn't seem to have much thought of the islands.
What was the feeling then of, well, the war is won? We are now victors in relation to this world war.
Yes, I suppose that did enter our heads. I suppose some of the conversation which some decides to soldier on, stick to the army, I couldn't get out of it quick enough myself.
What were your hopes for your future?
Well, I knew I had a job to go to because I was in essential services railways when I enlisted. I had to get permission to enlist. So I knew I only had to go down to the station master in Fremantle and tell him I was ready to come back to work, and he'd make all the arrangements. But I did leave it for, must have been a matter of 3 months before I bothered to go back to work. I had our wages still went on in the army as prisoners of war, and I just more or less, girlfriend and I had our own things to do.
Were you able to take holidays? Were you able to go away?
No, I didn't want to go away. I thought I'd done enough travelling. Didn't want to leave the country again.
In relation to being discharged from the army, what was the feeling relation to what you'd done, what you'd served for king and country. Thank you very much. See you next time.
Yes, it seemed to be a feeling of wasted effort. I think being a prisoner of war gave that feeling in your mind that you were not part of the army kind of thing. You would not doing your part kind of thing. But
you had been on the winning side. What was it like, as I mentioned, what was it like to know that you were on the winning side?
Well, didn't seem to make much difference.
Did you have a positive outlook for the world in general, the future, the brave new world?
No, I just thought, well, we'll just go back to the world I remembered, and it will still be the bloody same once it gets into shape again.
So you didn't feel as though you made a difference?
No.
Even if the war had been won?
Yes, I thought of the first lot of it with the action that we were in, different things like that, but the prisoner of war side of it was just been in our minds too long. I think we just thought it was a useless bloody war to been in that predicament.
People talk of the First World War being the war to end all wars. How did you see that? What the Second World War was? What do you think? The war to.
Yes, it's supposed to. War to end all wars. Didn't appear to be that way. We thought that we'd heard about all the Japanese millions of hordes of them that they could put into uniform, and we thought as long as you've got nations like that that are brutal, they'll always have one war after another.
It wasn't long before Korea came along.
Mm-hmm.
It was Malayan and Vietnam, obviously.
Mm.
How did that make you feel?
Well, I didn't. With the bringing in conscription for the 19-year-olds. I mean, I suppose they had to do it because they wanted troops, but I never thought we'd have conscription in this country, I think. I always thought we'd have enough volunteers at wartime.
What about the current situation with America wanting support and people like our Prime Minister, Howard, making noises of sending young blokes off if it comes to anything? How do you see that situation?
Oh, yes, I wouldn't try and urge anyone to go into it, but I'd like to see them volunteer and good sort of a country, it's worth fighting for. But whether they would get not volunteers, I don't know, do I think. The last rumour I heard was to bring in conscription 19 and 20 year olds.